Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. You can also turn to there on your smartphone, and on your smartphone you can go to YouVersion, and it has the sermon notes right there online. And we are continuing our series, Living in Your Dash. And we want to just welcome everyone who's joining us for the first time here at Casper Faith today. And maybe you're here because somebody said, I'll take you to lunch if you come to church. Or maybe they promised you'd meet someone cute if you came to church today. Whatever the reason you're here, we want you to know we're glad you're with us today and that you've decided to make us part of your Sunday morning. We've been talking about the past few weeks, our dash, that little line between the date of your birth and the date of your death on your tombstone. And that little line represents the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is you have. And that dash is brief. It is short compared to eternity. And we're learning, how do we make the most of our dash? How do we really live it to the full? We're on message 4. And so far, we have talked about how we need determination. The letter D and dash, we're using dash as an acrostic. The D stands for determination. We need a determination that no matter what happens in our life, we're going to run our race. We're going to endure suffering, endure God's discipline, endure anything that comes across our path. We need the Winston Churchill theology. You know what that is? Never give up. That's what he said in a graduation speech. He got up to graduation speech 3 times. He said, never give up. Never give up. Never, 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 never give up. And he went and walked down. Wouldn't that be nice at a graduation ceremony to have that short of a speech? But if you're going to never give up, you will win. And that's the first key to living in your dash, is a determination to never give up. The letter A we talked about last week is the anointing of God. We need the anointing. You have an anointing. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God in you, you have an anointing. Your prophets, your priests, your kings. If you've missed any of the messages, I encourage you to go online, casperfaith.com, go to our media page, and you can get caught up on our messages. This morning, we're going to talk about the letter S in the word dash, and the letter S stands for serve. We need to serve God, not ourselves. It's all about serving Him. There's 3 reasons in your notes why serving is essential to our dash. The first reason there is that Jesus was a servant. He's our example. Mark, one of the traveling companions of Barnabas and Paul, he wrote this in his gospel in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve, and He is our example we should serve. The second reason we are to serve God is because Jesus is Lord, and we are His servants. He is Lord. It talks about in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and it's the reference is there in your notes. You can look it up. But we declare Jesus is our Lord. Revelation 22 says we are servants of God. Here's the thing. If you are not serving God and you're serving yourself, then Jesus is not Lord in your life. You're Lord. You're the one who's in charge. You're calling the shots. And so because He is Lord, we are servants. We need to serve to be effective in our dash. The third reason that we need to serve God is because serving is a command. Serving is a command. And the psalmist said in Psalm 2, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear. In Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, here's the thing. I know some Christians, they take those verses to an extreme. There are some people, they're all about serving God with fear. They kind of live under a cloud that God's up in heaven. He's waiting to drop a brick or a tombstone on them. You do something wrong, oh man, you just got nailed by God. And they serve Him with fear. There's no security about God's love in their life, about that He's made them their children. But then there's other people on the flip side, it's all about serving God with gladness, and there's no fear of God. I can live the way I want to live. I don't have to submit to God. I can go out and do whatever I want. And those are the two extremes you find in the church today, and it's not either or, it's both and. I serve God with fear, realizing He's my master. He calls me to be holy. I'm serving Him with fear, but also at the same time, I serve Him with gladness, with joy, with hope, with expectation. I need to serve God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, He said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." We serve God. Serving is a main component. Now, this whole idea of serving is such a big concept that I'm going to split the message up today. All right? I'm going to share one part a couple weeks from now on Jersey Sunday. Make sure you wear your jersey two Sundays from now. We're going to do that message after our missions convention. I'm going to do another part this morning, and we're going to talk about serving God with our money. Serving God with our money. Now, some of you are saying, "Oh, great, Craig. You're talking about money." You know, there's some people, you might be here for the first time, you think, that's all preachers talk about is money. That's all they want is money. They want my money. No. Here's it. Do you realize Jesus spoke more about money than He talked about heaven, hell, and prayer combined? He did. Money was a big thing. Jesus talked about money. They say that money is a main subject of nearly half the parables Jesus told. One in every seven verses in the New Testament deals with money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 on money. 15% of everything Jesus ever taught was on the topic of money possessions, more than heaven and hell combined. And the thing is, I believe the Bible says so much about money because money is a main part of our life. Money determines where you live and how you live. It determines if you have food, electricity, water, and heat. How many are glad for heat this time of year? Amen. It determines what you have to wear and how much you have to wear. Money determines the kind of activities you do in your free time. You can use money to hire someone to do your work so you can have more free time. We spend 40 to 60 hours a week making money, the rest of the time spending it or sleeping in a bed that we purchased with it. Money is a main component of our life, and it's the most difficult thing to serve God with. John Wesley and Martin Luther had this to say about money. Wesley said, "The last part of a man to get converted is his wallet." We can serve God with everything else, but when it comes down to our cash, we want to hang on to that with all we've got. You know, this is what Martin Luther said. He said, "There are three conversions necessary to every man: the conversion of the head, the conversion of the heart, and the conversion of the purse, and the purse is the hardest of the three." Money is a main part of living our dash effectively. And so we're going to talk about today serving God with our wealth. You see, money's just not the money, but it's all of our possessions, the things we have. Money is our assets that we put away in the bank. Money is all-encompassing. All of our wealth we are to serve God with. And we're going to take a look in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Matthew is one of the 12 disciples, and he recorded what Jesus taught about money. Take a look at verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus is talking about treasures, our finances, our wealth. And we're going to give you this morning six reasons that we want to serve God with our wealth. Six reasons to serve God with your wealth. Number one in your notes this morning, if you'd take out your notes today in your bulletin. Also, life groups, your homework is in there, and so that's your homework that you can do for the life group this week. But the very first reason we want to serve God with our wealth is that, number one, wealth can be lost. Our wealth can be lost. Jesus said, "Hey, moth and rust can destroy your possessions." How many have a car that's rusting out? Yeah. You know, and thieves can break it and steal. You ever had anything stolen from you? I mean, wealth can be lost. Hurricane Katrina comes, and it can wipe out everything you have. You can get hit by a tornado. The stock market can crash, and you've just, you know, your 401k and everything you've accumulated is gone just like that. There is no security in wealth, no peace in wealth. In fact, the more we have, the more we have to worry about. The more you accumulate, the more you're afraid of losing it. But Jesus said, when you are serving God with your wealth, when you're serving God with your possessions, you're laying up treasures in heaven where it can't be lost, it can't be stolen, it doesn't wear out, it doesn't deteriorate. And that's why serving God with our wealth is so important, because we have an eternal 401k that never loses value. Amen. Especially after this past week in the stock market. You know, you can say, thank you, Jesus. I didn't lose anything this week. That's one reason we're asking everyone to make a missions faith promise. Because what you give to missions, you're storing up in heaven. Someday when you're up in heaven, someone's going to come to you and says, thank you so much for January 30th, 2016, when you filled out that missions faith promise card, and then every week or every month or as God provided, you put that in. I'm here in heaven today because you gave. What you give to God is not lost. And that's why we want to serve God with our wealth. Reason number two, we serve God with our wealth because wealth doesn't last. Wealth doesn't last. How many cars have you had in the past 10 years, past 20 years? And then they broke down, they wore out, or they became so unreliable you had to get a new one. Have you thought about how many cars? I was thinking, since my wife and I have been married, we've had like 5 different vehicles. In 25 years, we've had 5 different vehicles. Then when you count the other cars for the kids, you know, man, there's like 8 of them. They just don't last. They don't last. Not only can they be lost, but they don't last. And here's the thing. Remember that CD you bought a year ago? How you listened to it over and over and over, or you downloaded it from iTunes, and now you don't even know where that thing is at anymore. You want new music because the enjoyment of it doesn't last. Young people, you bought that video game you just had to have. How much do you play that now? You've got the new ones. Or your stuff is outmoded. How many have VCRs and videotapes? I mean, they don't last. I mean, you know, everything's on DVD. I don't know if you can find a VCR player anymore. You know, you got to convert it all over. Things don't last. The wealth of this world does not last. The new clothes that you bought 3 years ago, you don't touch them. Well, maybe some of you do. You know, you got to have something new, or maybe they're too small for you now, you know. Wealth doesn't last. Our possessions, our stuff that is so important at the time we got to have it, doesn't last, and it's not important to us anymore. This is what the wisest man in the world, King Solomon, said about our wealth. Ecclesiastes 5:11, he says, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. In other words, the more you get, the more you want. And you think, if I just get this, then I'll be happy. And it doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy. Wealth will not make you happy. And there are many people today that are pursuing the almighty dollar, thinking they can find happiness, lasting peace and satisfaction, and you don't have it because wealth does not last. And Paul said to the Galatian Christians in Galatians 6:8, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Jesus knew the futility of worldly riches, and that's why he said, serve God with your health, lay up treasures in heaven, because you are accumulating a lasting inheritance, a lasting fortune, and it's going to satisfy you incredibly. So our wealth, it can be lost. Our wealth doesn't last. The third reason this morning that we want to serve God with our wealth is because it is easy to give to what we love. It's easy to give to what we love. In verse 21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, where your money goes, it indicates where your heart is at. It indicates what's important to you, what's of value to you. It was my wife's birthday last Sunday. I got her a gift. Actually, the gift is still coming. It's been on order before Christmas. But I have got her a gift, and I took her out to dinner, and I spent money on her. And you know what? I would just dreaded it the whole time. No, I didn't. I love doing it. Why? Because I love my wife. Valentine's is coming up. I plan on doing it again. But you see, when you love somebody or love something, it's easy to invest your treasure in them. And that's the thing. Where you put your money indicates what's important to you. There's some of you, you know, you're fishermen, and you've got so many, you know, rods and reels and lures and you know, all these different things. I mean, your garage looks like a bait shop, okay? There's some of you, you're way into golf, and you've got, you know, all these different golf clubs, and you're always buying something new to make your game better. Hey, you know, the tools really don't matter. It's how much you get out there, okay? But, you know, and I had a friend, what I worked with when I was back many years ago. He was into race cars. He didn't make a whole lot of money, but everything went into his race car. And so whatever you love, that's where your money goes. And so here's the thing. If you want to know if you love God, just look at your checkbook and see how much of it went to God. You see, I can look at your pocketbook, I can look at your checkbook, and I can tell you how important the kingdom of God is in your life. And so I want to serve God with my wealth, because if I'm serving him with my wealth, it's easy to give because I love him. When I love God with all my heart and soul and mind, it's easy when he says, Craig, I want you to give this much in your missions faith promise. I want you to give your tithe. I want you to help this person in need here. I want you to give groceries to them. I want you to give this person $100 to help them fix their car. It's easy to let go of my finances when I love God, because he's what I value. Now, what does Jesus ask us to give? Jesus asks us, take a look in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus asks us to give, or actually return, the tithe. Jesus said, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Listen to this. Return to me. He's saying the people had left him. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? They thought they already were with God. They didn't realize they had departed from him. And Jesus said, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? Do you realize there's a difference between robbing and stealing? Stealing is, hey, Ashley, look over there. I just stole his phone from him. He didn't realize that. Not at all. I could have kept it and not said anything. Man, okay. But that's stealing. This is robbing. Ashley, give me your phone. And God says, when you are not paying the tithe, that's what you're doing to God. It's a stick up on the Father. Can you imagine anyone having the audacity to rob God? And yet he says, you have robbed me. And they say, well, how have we robbed you? It says, in tithes and offerings. When we don't return 10%, the word tithe means 10%. I've heard some people say, well, I give like 3% of my money, I tithe to God. Friends, if you're not giving 10%, it's not a tithe. Because the word tithe actually means tenth. And he says, in your tithe, in your tenth, and in your offerings. And he says, because of that, you are accursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And notice he said bring, not send. God wants you to, I have heard some people say, well, I send my tithe to that evangelist, and I send it to that missionary, and I send it to that ministry. That's where I send my tithe. It doesn't say send it. It says bring it to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. When you go shopping for groceries, you don't go to like Albertsons and get your groceries and then go across the street to Ridley's and pay Ridley's for the groceries you bought at Albertsons, do you? No, that would be wrong. And yet, God, that's what some people do. They go to a church, they go to their storehouse, they receive food, but they send their tithe somewhere else. And God says, where you're getting your food, that's where you pay for it. Bring your tithe to the storehouse. All of the tithe, not part of it, bring all the tithe, all the tenth in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. God's saying, test me. I remember when I was growing up, there was an old commercial with Robert Conrad, and he had this battery on his shoulder, and it's like, go ahead, knock it off, I dare ya. Anyone remember that commercial? Many of you do. And you know, test me, try me, come on, I knock it off. And really, that's what God is doing. God is saying, give your tithe, test me, try me, I dare you to do it. Why? Because if you do, says the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God promises to bless us and provide for us if we are faithful and obedient in returning the tenth and then giving the offerings that he tells us to give. It's all about who am I trusting more? Do I trust myself to do better with 100% than God can do with 90? Can I trust God that if he says, give away your car, your house, a 20, 100, that he can do better with what I've got left and he'll provide for me than I can do if I just keep it to myself and I try to store up my treasure here on earth? It's all about trust. It's about, do I believe God is big enough to be in charge of my finances instead of myself? That's why serving the Lord, you see, if you love God, it's easy to give when he says, give it. Because I love him. I value him. And I tell you, it's easy for me to give the tithe, but there's times when he says, I want you to give this offering. Are you sure, God? Hey, I struggle sometimes when he says, give that. And yet I've got to be willing. What if God says, give your TV to someone, give your watch to someone, you know, give your Bible to someone, give your car to someone? Are we willing to be open to God and sensitive to his Holy Spirit? Here's the thing. When I say, no, I want this, I have made an idol out of it. And I'm saying, this is more important to me than you. And so we need to be careful that we don't make idols of our stuff. And that the only one we worship and serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a chance to do away with tithing. I know some people say tithing's part of the law. Well, do you realize that the first instance of tithing is by Abraham in Genesis 14? And that was 400 years before Moses gave the law. See, tithing is in the law, but it didn't originate there. It's just such a great idea. God says, man, I want to bless you guys, so do this. And Jesus could have done away with the tithe. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he said, woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of law. Those things, mint, anise, and cumin, were tiny little spices. And the Pharisees, they'd put them on a table, and they'd say, one for God, nine for me, one for God. And they would be so meticulous dividing out these spices, making sure that they were tithing on them. But he says, you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Now look at this. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You ought to have done justice and mercy and faith without leaving the tithe. You ought to tithe. Jesus could have done away with it, but he says, hey, living with righteousness and faith and justice and mercy, that's important. But also tithe, because it's serving God with your wealth. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. How I use my money shows if I love God, if I'm obedient to him. So that's the third reason Number four, the fourth reason that we want to serve God with our wealth is because our focus determines our direction. Our focus determines our direction. Take a look at verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But what if your eye is bad? Your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Friends, our eye symbolizes the focus of our life, what we're looking at. What are we, and here's the thing, what are we looking at? What are we pursuing with our wealth? If we're looking at temporal things and that's what's important to us, our focus is going to determine our direction, that the physical material things of this world will be more important than serving God. But if our eye, our focus is on God, then we can release our wealth. And so the focus determines our direction. The material things of this world, if that's the focus of your life, it's going to bring darkness. It's going to bring gloominess on you. But if your focus is God and serving God and honoring God with everything you have, including your wealth, then that is going to bring about light in your life. It's going to bring revelation. It's going to bring a fullness to you. It's going to bring joy and not gloom and despair. People that are greedy and caught up with money, they're some of the most miserable people you know. Do you realize that the word miser comes from the word miserable? They're the same. Because when you're a miser, it's all about you, and you're miserable because you're not looking to others and looking to God and looking to the kingdom. The fifth reason this morning that we want to serve God with our wealth is that we either serve God or we serve wealth. We serve God or we serve wealth. Look at verse 24. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon means all kinds of wealth. It's wealth of any kind. It's the cash you have. It's lands. It's possession. It's the investments. It's jewels. It's furs. It's everything. All the wealth you have, mammon encompasses that. And Jesus said, you can't serve wealth and serve God at the same time. No one can do that. You either serve God or you serve money. Who is your master? Who controls you? Is money your master? And here's the thing. You say, Craig, how do I know? Here's a few questions that you can ask yourself. When God says give, do you hold it or do you give it? If you give it, then God's your master. If you disobey and you say no, then money's your master. When God says tithe, do you tithe? When God says make this missions faith promise, do you obey? If God says give a thousands to mission, you find yourself saying, well, if God provides me an extra $1,000 this year, I could really use that to buy this, and so no, I don't want to do that. That tells you who you're really serving. What if God says, give $50 to that person? Give your coat. Give your watch. Do you give it? What if you say, what if God asks me to give too much? What if he says, give up my house? Give up my car? Where am I going to live? How am I going to take care of myself? Friends, God asks that of very few people. And yet sometimes, because we're afraid, we want to say, well, I don't know if I really want to serve him with all my wealth, because he might ask too much and I can't trust him to take care of me. Here's the thing. If God asks you to do that, he will provide for you. He'll take care of you. And it's all about if God asks, do I give? That's how I know if I'm serving God or my wealth. It's quite simple. And I want to serve God. I don't want to have an idol. And that's why giving to God, serving him, is so important, because I want to serve him and not wealth. And all this brings us to our last point. Take a look at number six this morning. God is our source. God is our source. We don't. Everyone say don't. We don't have to worry when we serve Him with our wealth. God is our source. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious when we serve God with our wealth, when we return the tithe and we give as He says to give. Look at these great words of encouragement Jesus gives us. We're going to finish off with these last nine verses, verse 25 to 34. Look what Jesus says. Therefore, I say to you, see, after He's talked about the focus of your life, serving God and not wealth, your treasure, your wealth shows what you really love. Your wealth can be lost and it doesn't last. After He talks about all this stuff on money, He says, therefore, I say, don't worry. Say, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit, an inch, a foot, whatever, to your stature, to your height? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God's saying, if I take care of nature, if I take care of the plants, if I provide for the animals, am I not going to provide for my people that are created in my image? My children, that I gave my son's life, my one and only son, and he died on the cross for their sin. So I can, if I have given that, will I not take care of them? Can't you trust me? He says in verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek after. In other words, the Gentiles in those days were people that didn't know God, people didn't seek after God. He's kind of saying, if you're going after the wealth of the world, you're like a Gentile. You're like a person that doesn't know God. And he says, all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you realize God knows your needs right now? He knows what you need financially, emotionally, spiritually. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the details. He knows the hair on your head. He knows the warts on your back. You know, He knows the number of taste buds on your mouth. He knows you. He knows everything. And this is what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, God is our source. And He says, if you seek me, you seek my kingdom, my rule, and my reign in your life, that I'm in charge, I will take care of you. I will add all these things. In my own life, God has told me, He's told my wife to give things away, to give money away. And there have been times it's like it's been hard. I'm not going to lie to you. There's times it's hard. There's times there's a struggle. There's times I have a wrestling match with God. And I'm so glad when I yield, because when I yield, then there's joy and there's peace. And I tell you, when I don't yield, there's no joy. There's no peace. You see, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when I serve God with my wealth, it opens up the door of righteousness, peace, and joy in my life. I know I'm being obedient to God. I know I'm serving Him. And He adds everything. He takes care of me. I've never been in lack in my life. There have been times when things have been tight. There have been times when I've said, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. But God's always provided. He's seldom early, but He's never late. He's never late. I want to close with this story about Ivan the Great, who was a Russian prince. He was so busy going around the world trying to conquer nation after nation that he never had time to get married, never found a wife. And there was concern, his advisors were concerned because they said, you know, if you die, there's no one to succeed you, and we're going to have chaos on the throne. And this is what happened. They went out and found him a wife, and she happened to be the daughter of the king of Greece. And they were going to get married, but there was one stipulation. Ivan had to become Greek Orthodox. And Ivan says, well, if I become Greek Orthodox, then all of my men are becoming Greek Orthodox. And so 500 of his top soldiers, they were going to become Greek Orthodox. Greece sent tutors to Russia to tutor them and teach them about the Greek Orthodox church. And everything was great. And so Ivan comes down to Greece, and they're going to be baptized. And you got to imagine the sight. It's spectacular. The priests are in their priestly robes. They're in the river. And you've got all these soldiers with their shiny medals and their armor and their gear and everything, and they're in the river getting ready to baptize, and someone remembers that a warrior cannot be Greek Orthodox. And they're wondering, what do we do? I mean, this is going to wreck the marriage, wreck everything. And then someone has an idea. All right, have the soldiers take their swords and take their arms and hold them up, and we're going to baptize them with their arm out of the water. And by doing that, they can still be warriors, but they'll be Greek Orthodox because their arm isn't, but they are. Friends, there's a lot of people today that have unbaptized wallets and purses. They've given themselves to Jesus. Oh, God, I give you everything but my wallet. Oh, God, I give you everything but my purse. God, I give you everything but my checkbook. I give you everything but my stuff. I give you everything but my wealth. Yes, I'll serve you, God. Oh, no, I won't tithe. God, I'll serve you. No, I won't make a missions faith promise. God, I'll serve you. No, I'm not going to give 50 to that person in need. Jesus said, you either serve God or you serve wealth. Who are you serving this morning?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.